It's time for Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3. Brought to you by the Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org. Now here are the hosts of Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates, Anna Maria and Brian Clement.
This is Health, Happiness, and Healing with Anna Maria.
And Brian Clement, Hippocrates Wellness. Here we are again. I hope you're sitting back, relaxing, and ready to open your hearts to such a point that we can pour so much in there. They grow so that you're happier, more in love with yourself and life, and that all of us have a better experience going forward. As usual, we found interesting people from all over the world, and we have somebody right here in my studio today with his beautiful wife, who travel all over the world. And we've known this couple for a long time in the field of progressive health care and consciousness. They're renowned. And we're going to today talk about three aspects of the future. Welcome, the Tuttles.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brian and Anna Maria.
Thank you.
So I just mentioned that you travel the globe. So the first question is, what do you think the state of consciousness is with humanity? Forget countries. Overall humanity at this moment as we speak to people around the globe.
Great question, Brian. I think right now humanity is being pulled in two directions. One direction is fear, and there's a lot of emphasis being put on dividing humanity on various grounds, racial, and especially I think on healthcare. And on the other side, what we see is, a deep awakening happening of humanity. People are realizing that we have a divine spiritual potential for radiant health and joy and freedom. And that is pushing, I think, ever stronger, ever more strongly to the surface. So it seems to me, and in the travels that we do, that a lot of wonderful things are happening and people are rebounding from the last few years, which have been very challenging, I think, because of the so-called pandemic and the other forces that have been keeping people afraid of each other. And so we feel that the movement for the liberation of animals and for the healing of our planet environmentally and for social justice and political freedom are more important, not only more important than ever, but are actually being pushed forward in new ways. Right now, we see the globalist movement gathering ever more.
Explain what that means to the listeners.
Yeah,
most are not aware of what globalism is.
The globalist movement is the agenda of the super wealthy
Pluto, which is less than 5% of the population.
Plutocrats. It's actually, right, I would say in my research, it's about 1/10,000 of 1% actually of the population.
Yes.
It's about 8 to 10,000 people have enormous wealth and they, through their enormous wealth, can basically control and pay the top 1% who control governments and the corporations, the banks, and the medical industry and so forth, and the media to control the narrative. And so it's this controlling of the narrative, I think, is where the real possibilities for a positive future lie, that each one of us take responsibility for our consciousness. And so that's what I think we're really seeing. That's why I love the fact that we have Hippocrates Health Institute, where people can learn about the underlying healing power of our true nature. And we have a radio show like this where Madeline and I, and we can talk about these ideas, you know, because it's really, in many ways, a battle of narrative. The fact is that 1/10,000 of 1% of the population can have so much wealth, and wealth buys power. It really does. It buys not only politicians, but it buys media. And my father owned a chain of newspapers, and I understand in my bones that advertisers determine the media. My father could never run an article if the advertisers wouldn't like it. He'd lose his ad. He'd go out of business. So when anyone watches TV or pretty much most media, it's controlled by the advertiser. So it's very challenging to be able to really speak honestly in the media nowadays.
I'll tell you a story about that. You know, About 25 years ago, as you recall, here in America, he's passed now, Regis Philbin had a very well sought after and watched show. And his producer came, and the first 24 hours, she saw what she considered miracles at Hippocrates. And she said, oh, I'm going to sign you up. You've got to come on. You've got to talk about this. And here's a date, and let's commit the date, and we fly you into New York, and great. And so I was at least naive enough at that time to believe it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And about 6 days before they were going to fly me there, he himself called me, which I respected. He didn't get a second person to do it. And he said exactly what you just aired.
Wow.
He said, the advertisers basically do not want you on.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, the advertisers, he said, yeah, they review everyone and they look at your history and background and determine who can be on. So those of you that think you have a free press and free, we may have a freer than China, we may have a freer than Russia. But what level of freedom? So, Madeline, you're traveling right there with your husband,
yeah,
and you're an artist. So I want your perspective, and all more important than as an artist, as a woman, your perspective.
Yeah, I think that it's anyway pretty much a man's world.
Yes.
And it can be very frightening for us women, what's happening out there, and we don't know how to use the tools as well as men. So we try to be more creative. And we try to, I mean, for me, it's like spreading beauty and love. And I believe that love will win.
Yeah, it finally always has.
Yeah, it always has.
Yeah.
So, and if we can beautify and look very well after our man to feed them well as in Hippocrates, where people stay healthy and get healthy. And I saw so many miracles, and I love to speak one-on-one with the people and help and all that. Mm-hmm. And so I think we women can take the big way of doing
the lead.
Yeah, yeah, the lead.
And I think like it's necessary. Mm-hmm. Look at what you've given us several thousand years, so maybe give you a chance.
All right. And also, if you have boys in your family, raise them to love women and to respect women, because that's when you start. You have the chance, you know?
Be an example.
Yeah.
Be an example.
Right. Yes.
Anne and I often have that conversation, how blessed we were to be brought up with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the time we did, it was beyond a man's world. It was almost, women were caged at that point. But I had a father that really loved and honored and respected my mother.
Mm-hmm.
So it was awkward and odd for me to go to other homes with my friends and see the abuse.
Mm.
Emotional abuse to even the daughters.
Yeah.
So the husband would say, I heard five or six times growing up, oh, damn it, I had a girl. Can you imagine saying this in front of your daughter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the world is in desperate need of harmonization. And let's say this in a way you'll understand. In an inner peace, if people don't have an inner peace, they don't love others because they don't love themselves. They don't have a calm. They perceive everything as a turmoil. And when we perceive things as a turmoil, we create turmoils. We manifest the very turmoil that we're frightened of.
Well, yeah, and I think a main reason that happens is because we're eating turmoil.
Exactly.
You know, we're eating violence and abuse. And really what we're eating, as I talk about in the World Peace Diet and in my new book, Food for Freedom, which is coming out, we're eating.
Say that again, Food for Freedom.
Food for Freedom. Yeah.
Dr. Will Tuttle. This guy is a PhD like us.
That we're eating the domination of the sacred feminine. That's really what animal agriculture is. I think it's important for people to understand this clearly, that animal agriculture, when it started 10,000 years ago in what is today Iraq, it was not just merely imprisoning animals in order to kill them, but the whole operation of animal agriculture. So when we go into the store and we see chicken or dairy products or eggs or bacon or hamburgers, what's really underlying all of that is sexual violence. You cannot have it without what the industry calls the rape rack, where you actually serially impregnate females against their will, steal their babies and kill their babies and do it over and over again. So our forefathers, 10,000 years ago, they really crossed a major ethical line. It's one thing to hunt animals who are free living, but when you take them and you say, I own you, I enslave you, and now I'm going to sexually abuse you and all, and we've been doing that for 10,000 years.
And let me explain to the listeners out there, Dr. Tuttle is not saying something that's perverted or odd or extreme. How do you think they keep a cow perpetually pregnant?
Right.
And that's what you have to have to have milk. Mm-hmm. How do you think they make veal? They actually take, and it's worse than jail. Mm-hmm. The poor animal can't move, so that you eat a tender flesh of a baby cow. I mean, people just don't realize it. In one of my books, I reported something that happened in Norway, where the finest restaurant, the owner, reversed cardiovascular disease on the Hippocrates diet, and pretty much was willing with one of the big universities there to do a test. So he took his menu that people were obviously used to, it was the top in Oslo restaurant, and actually described what he was feeding. No longer, you know, sirloin steak, it was buttocks of a cow.
Of a cow.
A steer. Yeah. And it wasn't any longer eggs, it was, you know, fetuses of chickens. And they put the menu out, and they did this for a 7-day period. And by the end of the week, he had little to no customers. This was the top. So when we come back, we're going to talk straight to you, and hopefully it's going to discourage you from doing things that harm you, the planet, other creatures. But more important, we don't want to discourage you. We want to encourage you to become happy, whole, and at peace with yourself. We'll be right back.
Well your world and transform your life. Hippocrates Wellness has been healing people, reversing chronic disease, and boosting immunity and longevity for over 70 years. Located in West Palm Beach on 60 lush tropical acres, Hippocrates Wellness has a program for you. Call them at 561-471-8876. Reserve a consultation and tour today. Visit their website at HippocratesInst.org. Call 561-471-8876. Now back to health, happiness, and healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org. Now here are the hosts of Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates, Anna Maria and Brian Clement.
This is Health, Happiness, and Healing with Brian
and Anna Maria Clement at Hippocrates Wellness. And we're here with Madeline and Will Tuttle. And, you know, we just talked about how 10,000 years ago we started to enslave animals. And the biggest problem is not just that we ate their flesh, but that we lived with them and all their infections came over to us and we got sick. Tell us more about that.
Right. Well, this whole thing, you know, this is a very, it seems normal to us, but it's really quite perverse to be imprisoning animals as slaves and then forcing them to reproduce and then killing them and eating them in their secretions or, you know, dairy products and eggs. And you're right. It just sows the seeds of a tremendous amount of disease, not only, like you're saying, zoonotic disease, but also just the actual flesh and secretions of animals are not particularly healthy compared to the possibilities. And I think it's really important that we understand that all of us as human beings have been given this wonderful gift from the benevolent creator, the benevolent universe, of a physical body that does not require any animal to be harmed or imprisoned in any way.
And it's self-repairing.
To get all the nutrients that we need to thrive and celebrate our lives on this beautiful planet. Yeah, our physical body is amazingly intelligent. You know, scientists have been studying cells, and they've discovered that one cell is so incredibly complex. They say it's comparable to New York City, like one cell. And we have literally trillions of these cells. So you can see that we have an enormous investment of universal intelligence in this body. And we probably aren't even aware of the possibilities of healing from all that intelligence. But we should also remember that every pig and cow and chicken and fish has an equal investment of universal intelligence in their cells. Absolutely. And in their bodies, and that they are beloved as we are beloved. And so if we really intend to live our lives on this beautiful earth for the time we're here as representatives and as manifestations of divine love, which we are, then we should be treating creation with the same kind of love. And when we do that, I think we naturally have a sense of happiness, and our health grows because we look out of our eyes and we see the beauty around us. And instead of this idea of, oh, I don't want to think about my food because I know what it's causing. So we're always kind of afraid and covering up. And I think that's the real reason for the diseases that we're having. Yeah. It's because we are basically afraid of nature. We've put this wall up between ourselves and nature. We say we're superior to nature, and we have a science that can allow us to dominate and exploit animals and nature and use them for our own benefit. But when we do that, we're afraid of nature, and that basic fear of nature feeds right into
being frightened of yourself again. We are nature.
So we are nature.
Frightened exactly. Of schizophrenic.
So we're afraid of ourselves, mm-hmm. and we're afraid of what's really out, what we think is out there is lurking. So the point I wanted to make is that it gives rise to this very fear-based germ theory that somehow there's all these things trying to attack us all the time. And so we need weapons. We need to have all kinds of medical, chemical, pharmaceutical products. We're in a war, continual war. And that, of course, just feeds right in.
The war on cancer.
This war against nature, really, against our own bacteria, most of which are benevolent inside of us. We're trying to kill them all the time. You know, so
back in the 70s and 80s, to drive your point home and Anna's question of living with animals, this is something that very few of you know, and you're going to even question this, but this is clear. This is absolutely factual information I'm going to give you. We never knew where the HIV virus came from in the West. Of course, the evangelicals in this country said it was because people were gay and God wanted to strike gay people down. And, you know, the government went along with that program, and they didn't really take it serious because they perceived that only 10% of the population wasn't worth fighting for. And the whole time in Africa, this was a heterosexual disease. And how it basically happened is there were small tribes still eating monkeys in Africa. Now, the monkeys contracted this virus. But by the way, it didn't affect them with HIV. They had antibodies within them that held it back. And what happened is when humans took this into their body, it basically morphed into what we call a retrovirus. And retroviruses are not only HIV, it's chronic fatigue syndrome. You and I may have had one. I did when I was a boy, called the kissing disease, mononucleosis, same family. And so doing things to animals that we ought not to do, as Dr. Wilcox at Harvard says, we think we're winning when we eat them. They get the last word.
Right. Exactly. They do. But the problem is that is incredibly profitable for the same people that control the narrative. So that's why they don't want your message to go out to these people, to the masses in many ways, because when people understand these deeper truths of our interconnection with nature, and the fact is that we are nature, then they're healthy. Then they take responsibility for their health. And I think that's really such a great thing to understand, that all the nutrients that we need to thrive and celebrate our lives here come from plants. All the essential amino acids that make up all the proteins, all the fats, all the carbohydrates, I mean, minerals, vitamins, it's all in plants. Animals don't make anything. So this idea that we need to somehow abuse animals to get nutrients is really a deception. And I think that's the critical thing now, when you asked at the beginning about the state of humanity, it's that we not be so gullible. I think we really have to understand that we keep getting, remember like the WHO said, I won't get fooled again.
Yes.
And we keep getting fooled over and over and over again. And I think that's the problem, is we need to really develop our ability to be savvy and discern fact from fiction, because we're getting absolutely just bombarded with lies by the media and very often by the medical establishment.
But
and
we go back to what you said. As a boy, you learned your dad, who was in the media, although it was local, it was the media, was basically being manipulated by the people who were selling stuff to you.
Exactly.
So, Madeline, you did a beautiful, beautiful painting for us that we put on the front cover of our international magazine, Healing Our World.
Thank you.
Describe what you see when you look at these animals.
I spend lots of time with the animal. I traveled around the world a few times and go and visit and feel into and looking into their eyes. I feel like a transparency, like they're the same like us.
Yeah.
And when I still lived in Switzerland, we had a few cows outside. It was a farmer, and he had 10 cows. Yeah. And these cows, they were always mooing when it was 5 o'clock. They wanted to go into the stall, and they were mooing when it was, I can't remember what time in the morning.
Early
to get out. And one day, one cow came up to the fence, and it was right there where I got out of the garden. And she looked at me with these warm eyes, these big brown warm eyes. And then I got her a little bit on the nose, and she loved it. And she looked at me, and I just felt, how can one kill such a being? It doesn't matter if it's a giraffe or a cow. They're all the same, a mouse and tiger. Once one thinks they're more beautiful, one has to protect. But by eating all these cows and chickens and all the rest of it, we actually put the wild animals in harm, because they come and get once in a while some of that goodie.
Yes.
And then the farmers get angry and they shoot these wild animals till we have hardly any left.
No.
Yeah, well, they're carnivores. You're not, humans aren't. One of the interesting stories is many years ago, a woman who was running for vice president was asked what she thinks about plant-based eaters. She was a noted masculine woman who was thinking her identity was killing animals, and that made her tough, et cetera. Somebody said, what do you think about people who eat plant-based diets or vegan? She said, well, God didn't want us to eat cows. There wouldn't be so many.
Oh.
So that's the mentality. Yeah. That's the mentality there.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a funny thing when we say it's fresh meat or it's fresh fish. People don't understand when life stops.
Yeah, there's no such thing as raw meat.
Decay.
It decays. So do we.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
There is
no
freshness.
You put an EKG on an animal that you've just killed, and it's flatlined. It's dead.
So
people who say, I eat raw meat, or, you know, I'm eating fresh meat, there's no such thing.
No, there's no such thing.
So what we found about 25, 30 years ago is that the average meat consumed in North America is about 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
So some rancher brings this to a slaughterhouse.
Yep.
There's many films you may want to look at on slaughterhouses, and I think that would discourage you.
Mm.
And then it's put in packages. When I was a boy, I didn't know that meat was meat. I used to think it was red stuff and cellophane.
I did too.
Acme or AMP. And so, and by the way, then it's shipped to you. And after 6 months, on an average, listen closely, people, it's 6 months decaying animal flesh, you then cook it and eat it. And even in spite of that, there's some, through unfortunate evolutionary processes, worms and parasites that don't die after that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be back in just a minute and explain how gruesome what some of you take for normal is. Be right back.
Brian Singh will be back next week to hear more from Will Tuttle.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so nice that we had this time to spend together. We're going to have phase two of this conversation with the Tuttles and talk about positive ways that you can embrace so that you, your loved ones, your family, your friends, and humanity on the whole can actually experience what being a human must be.
Hmm.
Thanks for listening to Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org.